Father God, as we seek to hear your voice through your word this morning, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be present here among us, that our hearts and minds might be open to the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Psalms is a book unlike any other in our Bible. It's essentially a collection of Hebrew poetry, which is what makes it sometimes quite difficult to understand. It doesn't rhyme or scan like our poetry does, and it uses many metaphors and figures of speech that sound very strange to us. These poems were written by various authors, largely unknown, and they were revised and adapted over many centuries, eventually being brought together by Jewish scribes as the Book of Psalms. And this, of course, formed part of the collection of books which made up the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. There's something very distinctive about the Psalms, and that is that they're addressed not to us as their readers, but they're addressed to God. The philosopher Athanasius wrote, "Most of Scripture speaks to us. The Psalms speak for us." And despite them being not just centuries, but millennia old, they still speak for us today. The Psalms contain some of the most vivid descriptions of human experience ever written. In them, the writers tell God frankly and directly about how they're feeling. They don't pull any punches. There's no glossing over unpleasant and negative feelings. In the Psalms, we read about hatred of enemies, desire for revenge, rage, torment, despair. Equally, there's completely unbridled, unashamed expression of joy, praise, glory, wonder, thanksgiving, delight. All these things come directly from the writer's heart, inspired by God. They're all things that we can identify with, but perhaps we can't always find the words ourselves to express them. I don't think there's a human emotion that isn't expressed somewhere in the Book of Psalms. And so through the Psalms, we can speak to God about our own pain, our own gratitude. If ever you're finding it hard to find words to pray, take a look in the Psalms. There are prayers there for every occasion. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, you will be able to identify with the feelings of the writer of one psalm or another. Their prayer becomes your own. In Hebrew, the Book of Psalms is called Tehillim, which means songs of praise. And these poetic prayers were intended to be sung as much as they were to be said or read. In Psalm 98 that we heard today, we're urged to sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. That's from verse 1. Whenever the Hebrews experienced the awesome power of God's redeeming love, they sang a new song to mark the occasion. And there's something about being human, isn't there, that really responds to music. Something in us that stirs when we hear it. Certain songs or pieces of music are capable of stirring up a very emotional response in us, causing us to recollect certain moments in time. Moments perhaps of great happiness or terrible sadness or hurt. We can be moved to tears sometimes just by hearing the first bars of a particular piece of music. And this gift is for everyone. Often even profoundly deaf people have a love of music. I know it's a while ago now, but I don't know if you remember the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games in 2012. There was a performance of drummers. There was a woman who was profoundly deaf from birth, and she led those 1,000 drummers in that amazing, vibrant piece of music. She heard the music through the vibrations that she felt through her feet, through her body. The gift is for all of us. Throughout history, humans have expressed themselves in song in all sorts of situations, while oppressed by slavery, while going to work in difficult or dangerous situations, mines, factories, in the mills. People have sung to express their love, and a whole plethora of folk songs have arisen out of people's everyday experience of life. Pretty much every nation on earth has a heritage of music and song which has evolved with its people and become part of its culture. So it's little wonder, is it, that in our Bible we find so many songs. It was customary then for the Hebrews to celebrate God's mighty acts by writing a new song. For example, when God led the children of Israel through the Red Sea and set them free from Pharaoh once and for all, Moses and Miriam sang to commemorate that occasion. They sang, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." That was from Exodus. Also, when God answered Hannah's prayer for a son, she sang, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." And of course, we can't forget King David. Many of the Psalms were attributed to him. Once David had prevailed over the enemies of Israel, he sang, "The Lord is my rock in whom I take refuge. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies." If we look back again at Psalm 98, this is a song of praise commemorating the end of the Babylonian exile. The Israelites had lived in captivity for 70 years, and now they were free to return to the land of Judea. Can you imagine a greater moment for celebration? "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." But it doesn't only refer to that time. As ever, there's a connectedness between the scriptures, the Old Testament, and the revelations of the New. We are invited to sing a new song too. Just as the Israelites were rescued from exile, so have we been rescued from captivity. We were captive to sin, no longer. The salvation the psalmist speaks of refers to that of the Israelites as they left Babylon. But it's also an echo back from the Exodus in their past, and is echoed again in the salvation bought for all people by Jesus' sacrifice. There's a pattern there of the past, the present, and the future running throughout the psalm. And the psalmist doesn't stop at urging the Israelites to celebrate and to praise God. He expands his poem to include all the nations, and further, to include all the earth. The psalmist recognized even then that God's mighty acts were to be celebrated by all. In verse 4, we read, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music." And notice that it's not only trained musicians who are called upon to make a joyful noise to the Lord, but just about everything else as well. The sea and everything in it. The world and all its inhabitants. Even the rivers and the mountains are invited to join in the new song of praise to God. And when we come to church every week, we also join in, don't we? We stand up and sing our songs of praise. Do we? Do we burst into jubilant song? Sometimes, perhaps. I know that many of you are gifted with beautiful voices. I know because I've heard you. It's lovely, especially if you're standing behind me. Helps to keep me in tune, I hope. But what of those of us who are not so gifted? Perhaps we're afraid that our singing voice isn't quite good enough to be heard in public. There may well be people here who have been so self-conscious of their singing voice that they've mouthed the words to the song instead of actually joining in. Don't want to see a show of hands, but it has been known. I've done it. We have to remember why we're singing. Who are we singing to? What are we singing for? Well, of course, we're singing for God. We're singing to God. So what does God want us to hear? Sorry, what does God want to hear? How does God want us to sing? We can find the answers, as ever, in our Bible. So does it say in our Bible anywhere, sing to the Lord a new song, but only if you promise not to sing off key, and if you can't manage that, then please keep the volume down. Of course it doesn't say that. What the Bible actually says can be quite a shock for some people. It says that it's not beauty that counts. It's not vocal ability that counts. What counts is volume. Do you realise that the Bible never once mentions us singing beautifully? It never once says to sing softly. The word loud is used 115 times in the Bible, most of the time in conjunction with the use of the voice or an instrument in worship. The word soft is used only 15 times, and never in conjunction with the voice or an instrument of worship. You might be thinking, that's all very well, but I can't sing. My voice is so ugly that if I'm going to sing loudly, I'd need to go to a voice coach first. But you know, as an American voice coach once said, voice coaches don't make voices. Only God can make a voice. And to me, that means that there's no such thing as an ugly voice. God doesn't create ugliness. If you don't think your voice is beautiful, then that is a matter of personal taste. God thinks it's beautiful, and he wants you to sing loudly. John Wesley, some 250 years ago, gave us these practical rules for singing hymns. He said, sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you are half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, no more ashamed of it being heard, than when you sing the songs of Satan. By that, I can only assume he means when we sing bawdy songs down the pub or certain pop songs. He also said, sing all. See that you join with the congregation as frequently as you can. Let not a slight degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. If it is a cross to you, take it up, and you will find it a blessing. Above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing him more than yourself or any other creature. Very sound words of advice, I think. And looking back to our Psalm 98, the final verse reads, let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Israel lived in faith between the past and the future saving acts of God. We are very fortunate to live in these times. With the benefit of history, we can see the unfolding of the pattern that the psalmist set down in his poem. We know about God's final saving act. We know that Christ died for us to win our salvation. We know that he will come again to judge the world and all people, not just Christians, but all the earth and all the people in it. So until that time comes, let us take our inspiration from the Hebrews. They sang a new song every time they experienced God's awesome power, and in celebration of all his mighty acts. We experience that same awesome power every day. There are miracles happening all around us. The miracle of life. The miracles of prayers answered. God loves us, and he demonstrates that love for us in more ways than we can count. From small blessings and comforts to astounding miracles. So let us sing to the Lord a new song, with the hope that it'll enable us to recognize God's mighty acts in our world today and inspire us to sing a new song to the Lord each and every day. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Whether you sing or shout it, remember that to God's ears, you do have a beautiful voice, and he's the one who counts. Amen.